Praise the Lord. All right, turn in your Bibles to Acts 17. Acts 17. And what I want to do tonight is a little bit different. It's just informational. And I'm praying that God's going to touch some of your hearts. We're going to have Jesse put the first picture up here. I wish it was a better picture, but it's all I have right now. I want to talk this evening about what's called marketplace evangelism. Marketplace evangelism. While he gets that ready, turn to Acts 17, verses 16 through 17. The Apostle Paul had a little time on his hand. He was waiting for something to happen, but while he was waiting, he was doing something. Isn't that a good testimony? It says in verse 16, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him." Now, what was the result of meeting with a whole bunch of unsaved people in a pagan heathen nation and talking with them, disputing with them daily? What was the result? It was mixed. The results were mixed. But at the end of the chapter, we read about these results in Acts 17, 32 through 34. "And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, 'We will hear thee again of this matter.' So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them." So notice the mixed response when he went to the marketplace daily and just met with anybody that would talk with him. Now, I'm not sure when it was. It may have been about 35 years ago. A pastor named John Gardner was reading this text. And when he read this text, he, upon that, began a ministry called Marketplace Evangelism, based on verse 17, which he later changed the ministry into Amazing Grace Missions. And he saw by Paul's example that the church needs to go to where the people are and needs to talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection, even though some will mock. Others will say, "Well, you know, we'll hear you again on this matter. We'll be back." But others believed. And so he began going to the fairs around his church and setting up booths and tents at different fairs. And all of a sudden it started catching on. And they just saw the masses walk by their display day after day after day, and many would come in and start talking with them. Some would just walk away. Others would sit down and hear the gospel and leave. Others would sit down, hear the gospel, and believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, boy, this is so effective that he actually resigned from the ministry of being a pastor and went nationwide with this ministry. And as you know, we ourselves, as a church, have been working with Amazing Grace Missions at fairs for the last, I don't know how many years, 35. I have no idea. I wish I kept a record of those things, but we've been going to fairs every single summertime, and we will again this summer. And so I want to just bring a little bit of information tonight. And next Wednesday night, I should finish on marketplace evangelism. And I want to just kind of introduce that to you. It's new to some of you. Others of you have been in the church a long time. You've been out there yourselves at the tent or at a booth. We've had a booth or a tent rather at the Chautauqua Fair in Dunkirk, I think, for 20 years, I don't know. And we have a picture Oh, that's not, yeah, that's it. Very good. Like I said, it's not a very good picture. You can see the front of the tent on the top, but it's the only one I had, so I decided to put it up there. And we got some tables in the front with all different kinds of props that are used as icebreakers, and we'll get into that next week, and I'm going to bring some of those out next week and demonstrate how we use them. And then we have these nice posters all around. People going by can't help but see them. They're in really large print. We are on the main entranceway at the Dunkirk Fair, also known as the Chautauqua Fair. And a lot of people go by. I mean, probably thousands a day go by and see our tent. It's an amazing phenomenon. Year after year after year after year, to see them walk in like this and then walk like this and then walk like, because they know we're there. They know we're there. Other people walk right by. Other people walk right in because God has been working on their hearts and they're ready to talk about the Lord. It's a, we have all kinds of competition out there with music, beer tents, and usually right across the hall, the driveway on the main entranceway is their biggest displays they can for children, animals, zoos. Let's go see the, you know, the animals, and we're up against that. But we're there every year. Now, this year, we're there Tuesday is the first day, July 18th, through Sunday, July 23rd. Now, today's May 17th. July 18th is 2 months from tomorrow. So, now, one of the things I failed to do every year as a pastor was to prepare for this. We always were cramming, like a week ahead of time, trying to get it organized. And I said, you know, last year I said, I'm not going to do that next year. Next year we're going to be prepared. And I think God blesses preparation and He blesses prayer. And gives power to both preparation. When preparation meets prayer, God's going to do something. God's going to work. But the amazing thing is that even though I have not really prepared for these things as much as I would like to. I'm not the pastor anymore, but I talked to Pastor Barron, who's sick tonight, about this. And he said, oh, yeah, let's get that in front of the people. Because we want some of you to give it a try. And as I explain it, you might want to give it a try. Now, I know there's probably some that have already turned me off and probably said, that's not for me. Okay? And, well, some of the things I share tonight and next week will be for you just as a Christian, okay, and as trying to be a witness for the Lord and a soul winner. But some of you, I want to encourage you to just take a deep breath and try it. And you will always be out there with somebody who has been there before and has a little experience. Now, many times over the years, I have noticed this phenomenon, that somebody is scared to death to go out there, almost paralyzed in fear, and then after about 5 minutes, they like it so much, they want to go back and see if there's any more slots open for us to work. Soul winning, and they get so excited about it, and it kind of introduces it's kind of like maybe a boot camp type of a thing for soul winning and evangelism, and it can really be exciting. Now, we're out there from noon till 10 every day for those 6 days. We divide that into four 2.5 hour shifts. There are people who are there from noon till 2:30, then from 2:30 till 5, 5 till 7:30, and then 7:30 till 10. Okay, so the shifts aren't that long. It is hot, we know that, and it's summertime, but the shifts aren't that long. Sometimes people work two shifts. Brother Tyler here is from New Beginnings Baptist Church in Kennedy. They help us. And Brother Tyler also works with Amazing Grace Missions and does soul winning with them. He's usually there for 5 hours. Usually goes for noon to 5 or more. And you don't have to. He's really dedicated his life to that. We also have some help sometimes from Victory Baptist Church, Pastor Burke, over there in Fredonia, Sheridan area. Of course, they're the closest ones to the Dunkirk Fair. So, and then we're just counting on you to help. I try to get out there once or twice myself a week, and it just seems like we always have some wonderful experiences. It's amazing. You'll see. You can barely see Jake Hirsch way over to the right there, Jake Hirsch. And he's passing out smileys, what we call smileys, to people that are going by. They're cute little things that we pass out to people. And last year, I'll just tell you one experience. We have families going by. A mother with three kids went by. And he gave them all smileys as they were going by. You get them out as fast as you can. And he said something, would you like to know for sure how you can go to heaven someday and have eternal life? And she said, oh, we'll be back. Now, Tyler knows what that means. And probably some of you can figure it out, too. You're never going to see him again. That's what it almost always means. And so I was there working with Jake, and he's out there passing. A short time later, maybe an hour later, here comes this mother with her three kids. And she said, we're back. They had gone to get something to eat. And so he said, well, this is Pastor Cole, and he can show you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven someday. And so I went into the back, and we'll see another one, Jesse. Try to pull the one up where we have the, yeah, here's Tyler. Hey, we got a table in the back. And notice Tyler has his back up to the wall, and then there's chairs in front of him. The purpose for that is so that you can have people sit down as you go through the gospel with them. And they're looking at you, and they're looking at the back of the tent, because if they're facing the front of the tent, they're seeing hundreds of people walking by. And it's a tremendous distraction. So Tyler sits with his back. So I was sitting right there in that chair, and the mom sat down, and the kids and everything, and I got into the gospel with them. And God was obviously working on their hearts. I mean, you'll know sometimes when God is really working on their hearts. And all four of them believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and prayed to receive him as their Savior. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience. And but it takes somebody like Jake, you know, to sometimes watch hundreds of people go by before you get a response like that. But you're giving out smileys, you're getting the Word of God into their hands, and they can maybe take them home and read them. Another one we're going to be trying to use this year is the Little Bibles. These are what we call cute. People like cute things. Kids like cute things, and we'll show you some ways to use these. We did these last year at the Eden Corn Fest parade. They went over big. We gave out, I think, 3,000 of these at the parade last year. We're going to use them at the, order some, use them at the Dunkirk Fair this year, I believe. Because after 20 years of giving these out, people have seen these. So I'm going to give them something new. But you can give these out easy. I had a couple of men working at my house today doing some yard work, and I gave them both of these, and they're very appreciative of that. And I was talking to them during the day a little bit about being a pastor, and they talked to me about a few things. They were busy, but they're very easy to give out. Very easy to give out, and they have the gospel in them. In fact, our church and myself had the privilege of kind of rewriting these a few years ago to make them even, I think, more potent, a better gospel presentation than they used to be. And so we're glad for that. But Paul met with the people in the marketplace daily. And so John Gardner, he's with the Lord now. His son has taken over the ministry. They keep it going. They're in about 250 fairs a year, I think, around America. But sadly, there's over 3,000 fairs in America of some size, state fairs, county fairs, whatever. So we barely scratched the surface. Why? Workers. workers. All right. Now, every year we've also worked two fairs. We were at the Hamburg Fair for years. We had a booth there. And then we stopped going to that fair, and then some of our church members have been at the Cattaraugus Fair in Little Valley. And I know Tony and Louise were there. We got Pastor Gullo here tonight and his wife. It's a great opportunity down there. I think last year, probably Frank could tell you, I'm not sure, but I think they just set up one or two tables, and they were kind of in a quiet, out-of-the-way building, and yet I think if I remember what Louise told me, about 50 people during the course of the week came to know the Lord as their Savior. More than that? Okay. Were you there? Oh, you were there. Okay. More than that? Hallelujah. And what did you have? Just one table or something?
Yeah.
A couple tables. Did you use some of the props? Was there that many? We'll find out by next Wednesday. Yeah, she's a soul-winning machine. So people were coming to know the Lord left and right out there at the Cattaraugus Fair. And so that's exciting. Now, just think, you know, every year at Dunkirk, it seems, praise the Lord, about 100 people or more come to believe. And these are people who come in, sit down, hear the gospel, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and pray to receive Him as their Savior. Now, you multiply that by 20 years, and that's a blessing. That's a blessing. Now, it only comes out to about one an hour. One person an hour, maybe two an hour. It's not that much. And while you're doing that, you're watching hundreds of people walk by. But I just got this feeling that there's some people more this year who are searching than there have been in past times. I just sense that from my own conversations with people. The unsaved do not, some of the unsaved do not like seeing what they see going on. And things are happening in our day and age of biblical proportions. And we can be there. So I wanted to start this early, 2 months early, to explain this ministry a little bit to you and to encourage you to take a breath maybe and just go out there and just maybe watch. Get the courage to, you know, eventually start handing out some smileys, little Bibles, and then we'll see some of the props we use next week, and you'll say, boy, that will draw them. That will give them, you know, they're icebreakers. They're icebreakers. And like I said, a lot of people ignore us. Some people harass us. It's very rare. The late shift, 7:30 till 10, we do not allow women to go out to that anymore because of the drunkenness. And they've had problems at the Dunkirk Fair, none at the Cattaraugus Fair, but with drunks, and they got the beer tents and all that nonsense, and they've had some gang wars and stuff, and they've actually had to close down the fairs a few times because of the... But anyways, I want you, we're going to have the sign-up sheets out within about 1 or 2 weeks, maybe when I get done with this, for you to sign up and go out and see what God will do with you. Now, personal testimony, when I got saved, I was 12 years of age. I think when I was about 14 years of age, I was enrolled in a course called Personal Evangelism at Houghton College, which was a Wesleyan Methodist college over here. They had a West Seneca campus. And I had an instructor named Ted Dexter, who was a ordained Wesleyan Methodist preacher. But he was a Baptist. He was a Baptist through and through. He just didn't know it. But, boy, he was a soul winner. And he just knew, you know, and he taught me. I went because my dad went. My dad was a new babe in Christ, My oldest brother George wanted to go. Dave wanted to go. And I'm the youngest, so I just tagged along. And so here I am, 14 years of age, taking personal evangelism courses. And this guy was tough, man. He had you know, memorize the Roman road and learn illustrations and how to kind of get people to, you know, what he would call draw the net, give them the opportunity to say yes or no. And then he would sit down and he'd listen to you while you went through it to make sure you had the verses down and all that kind of stuff. It was great. I immediately took that to my high school. I went to Orchard Park High School, public high school, immediately started leading my friends to Christ. Immediately. One of them got baptized here just a couple weeks ago from back in high school. And, that you get to sow the seed and you got saved later, but I got to start leading souls to Christ. And then in the summertime, this man, Ted Dexter, had a booth at the Hamburg Fair for 41 consecutive years. 41 consecutive years. And he would have a different theme every year. And we used different techniques than we use as a church. But he used to use what was called a gospel magician. They used to call it a gospel magician. Some of you know what I mean. Do illusions. And this guy would be doing these illusions, and he'd be up on a platform, and there's just multitudes of people around while he's doing these tricks and everything. And they're all about Jesus. They're all about the Lord. They're all visual aids and illustrations of Christ dying or something. And then at the end, he would say, okay, now, I've shared with you what you need to do to be saved. If you'd like to come back and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, step right back here. We have some people here ready to pray with you. And I did that every summer. I'm a teenager, just praying with people, leading people to Christ. And that's just an opportunity I had. And, man, it was such a blessing in my life to get me started early evangelizing. You know, it says in, I just want to read a verse for you out of Romans. Romans 8 and verse 5, it says, "For they that are of the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." When you are after the Spirit, when you are walking after the Holy Spirit, you mind the things of the Spirit. You mind the things. Those that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh. Those that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. What could be more of the Spirit than leading people to Christ? I mean, that's why he came. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses. We're supposed to mind the things of the Spirit. And I want to encourage you to mind the things of the Spirit in your life. What are the things that the Holy Spirit is most interested in? And every time, without exception, somebody is filled with the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, they are proclaiming the Word of God. Those are the things of the Spirit. Mind the things of the Spirit. So we're going to try to have a better display this year than the ones you see. Well, Tyler's pretty good looking. But here's this one's in Spanish over here because there's quite a few down there in Dunkirk. There's quite a Spanish community down there, and you'll see them all the time. And now we gotta. By the way, when you're working there, you gotta. We want to keep everything looking good. You can see the one banner's falling down there. We gotta fix it. If you see that falling down, fix it, and go to the next one. Let's see what else we got here. All right, here's a couple more. Here's a big, huge gift over here. It says eternal life on it. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It says at the bottom, it's a gift to receive, not a reward to earn. Most people got that backwards. And they're just kind of stunned. I mean, that is so big they can't miss it. You can point right at that thing and say, look at that. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, when I was growing up, I used to think it was a reward. You just flow right into the gospel. I used to think I had to earn it. I had to go to church. I had to be baptized. I had to take communion, my first Holy Communion, and participate in the sacraments and be confirmed. And I used to think that if I said enough prayers and do all these things, I could have eternal life. But that's a reward. But the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life. So there's all kinds of ways with these posters behind you, with the props we'll show you next week, that can be icebreakers. These things, you know, this is free. You can have that. But you know something else that's free? The Bible says over here, the gift of God is eternal life. Notice it's a gift. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to work for it the rest of your life. And people's eyes get big like, I've never heard that before. No, and there it is right in the Bible. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you like to hear how you can receive that gift of eternal life for yourself? Could you come back for a few minutes and let me talk to you? Well, no, we got to get going. Well, let me just give it to you briefly. And some people have come to Christ as their Savior in front of the booth who would not come into the booth. And so we got all kinds of these posters, these banners all around us with all kinds of different verses, some in Spanish and some in English. And you can just say, hey, look what this one over here says. And they're looking at it. And you can use those different things and know how to use them. So a couple things in closing tonight. We are not allowed to bring children into the tent. Okay, so don't, and this will all, you actually have to read a form and sign it. We're there under Amazing Grace Missions because someone's going to come up to you and say, what church do you go to? And just say, hey, we're just some concerned Christians working with a nationwide ministry called Amazing Grace Missions. It's been around for 40 years or whatever it is. It's in all 50 states, many, many foreign countries now. And we're just here to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The good news that Jesus saves with you. And so we try to avoid that question. What church? Because as soon as you say Baptist, that's it. I don't want to hear a thing you have to say. But we cannot allow children to come into the booth without their parents. Now, the three children I mentioned last year, one was a teenager, but the mother came in with them. So that's different. If the mother, the father comes back, grandpa, grandma, something, oh, yeah, we want to hear this. Bring them back. Bring them in. There's been times where Pastor Seth had eight people in the back. He's talking to them. And they're all just standing there while he's talking to them, you know, and they have like an altar call right there. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior, okay, then. Teens are okay. We can bring teens in. We can take their names down, but they've kind of asked us not to take their addresses down. Teens, because they don't want us to be like we're stalking them or something. We used to get names and addresses and send them follow-up literature and stuff, but we don't do that anymore. You get right to the gospel. Okay, we're not there for fellowship. People are going to come by, well-meaning people from other churches. Oh, we're so glad you're here. And they want to talk to you for a half hour about prophecy or whatever. Well, we're not here for that. We're there to try to focus on the lost. When they come back, you get right to the gospel. You don't say, so how are you doing? You know, what's your favorite color? What do you do for a living? You forget all that. Get them right. Have a seat. I'm going to just share with you the best news you've probably ever heard in your life. Best news I ever heard. But it kind of starts out with some bad news we got to understand. And the first thing is that we're all sinners. I want you to notice the Bible says, and you're using a large print Bible or you're using a large print gospel tracts and they're looking at the verses. I want you to notice the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, I'm 66 years old. If I sin three times a day, that'd be a pretty good day. But that's about 1,000 times a year, and I'm 66. That's 66,000 times. Can you imagine going before a judge with 66,000 crimes on your account? And once you've committed them, there's not a thing you can do to undo them. It's like if somebody murders someone, you can't unmurder them. You might feel sorry, you might feel remorse, but you still committed a crime. And it's the same thing with us and with God. And that's how God sees me. Man sees me as a pretty good guy, but God sees me this way. And the fact is I've sinned a whole lot more than three times a day. So I'm using myself as an illustration. Okay, I'm not sitting them down and saying, now, do you know you're a sinner? You're a sinner. Yeah, yeah. You're terrible. No, but they're figuring out while you're talking about yourself. Now, how about you? I'm not going to ask you how old you are, but multiply that by 1,000. Imagine going in front of a judge. Well, we're going to stand before a holy God. And I'll get into the preparation of the gospel, which is, by the way, Ephesians 6, verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. We got to have the gospel prepared. Now, you can do that by using a gospel tract. You don't have to have a brilliant mind where you're a salesman. You have everything memorized. We have large print gospel tracts. Tyler does that all the time, where he gives people these big, giant print gospel tracts. He gives one to everyone, and he says, now let's go through point number one here on this gospel tract. And he reads it, and then he illustrates it, explains it, says, do you understand that first point? Do you understand? Do you understand? I've watched him do it. Okay, let's go to point number two here. We're all sinners. The penalty for sin is death. A judge, even a loving judge, a judge that loves your community, has to punish the guilty. Does that make sense? And they'll agree, and then when it makes sense, you go on to the third. Now, let's notice this. Jesus died for us. So the wages of sin is death, but Jesus died in your place. And so it's called the preparation of the gospel. You get right to it at the fair because they want to do something. They want to have fun. They're not there to, you know, meet the Lord and get saved, but praise the Lord, we're there. And I can remember 2 years ago, I shared this. I'm going to close with this. We'll go on next week, though, okay? I'm going to show you some props, how we use those, and you're going to say, oh, man, that would be easy to do. I could do that. And then you can flow into the gospel, and then people will just shut you down and say, oh, you know, I really got to get going. And they'll walk off. I said, well, you have that little booklet with you. Make sure you read that. And everything I wanted to tell you is in there. Read that when you get home. And thanks for stopping. We'll be here all week. If you change your mind, you want to come back and talk, we'll be here. There's no pressure, nothing to join. It's just you can know the Lord. But 2 years ago, I was out there with Nacho, Enriquez, me, and Al Shatner. We were out there at the Dunkirk Fair. I've shared this several times. And a teenage girl walked in, and she said, I want to thank you for being here. And she said, last year, my brother and I stopped by, and we were led to Christ. And she said, I want you to know, 4 months later, my brother died in a car accident. Thank you. Now, it wasn't me. I don't know who shared the gospel with her and her brother, but praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, somebody stepped out of their comfort zone and did something that was uncomfortable. They went to the fair that day and took her and her brother back and told them how to be saved. We could quit this ministry every year. We could just say, we've done that long enough. But there are going to be some divine appointments at Dunkirk and at Little Valley, Pastor, Mrs. Gullo. There's going to be some people. I'll contact Louise. I know it was a big year last year. It was amazing. Because we almost thought we weren't going to even do it. Do you remember that? I don't know if you probably didn't remember the politics behind it, but somebody stepped out of their comfort zone that day. Somebody. Somebody could have done something else that day. Now, I'm not going to try to force you into it or anything. I'm not going to look down on you. And some of you are busy and working all that. I understand that. All right. But I'll tell you, as a teenager boy, what a start. I got, and I've been in Christ 53 years and just been able to lead so many people to Christ one-on-one, one-on-one. And so marketplace evangelism was something the Apostle Paul did. Now, he was disputing with people. We're not. We have to avoid that or we'll get thrown out. But I wonder if we can just Just think about that. Come back next week and you'll see some of the props. Some of you know how they work. They're really easy. You can do it. And who knows? God might use you. God might use you to either lead someone to Christ or sow the seeds of salvation in their hearts. We've had people come back. You know, and we've had people drag friends along. It's amazing. Sometimes we've had them drag friends along and say, this is the place right here. And last year I got saved. You got to listen to what this guy says right now. Sit down. And it's just funny. So, Brother Kyle, we're going to just sing and be dismissed. But I appreciate you coming. So I'm trying to get an early start. We're going to have a nicer looking display this year. We're going to try to be more prepared. We're going to have prayer. people who don't go out there are going to be praying at all times. We'll have people scheduled for hours of prayer where they can pray for us or when they're out of Cattaraugus. Maybe you want to go down to Little Valley. Just sit there and watch them and just listen. And you watch Tyler or somebody else. And before I forget, if somebody else is sharing the gospel with somebody and you're just there to learn, you stare at the person who's sharing the gospel. Okay, so if I was there, I would be staring at Tyler. I'm not going to look at them. You know, how are you responding to this? No, you look at Tyler and try to...